How do my peas look? Child pornography.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, Mark Sherman rejoins us to discuss Jessica Jones Season 2. We also discussed Jessica Jones Season 1 a little bit because we never did before. Oops.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
That's me.
And we are joined by our, I don't want to call him a resident expert because he doesn't live here, but he lives here when we're talking Marvel, when we're talking Marvel TV shows. So,
hello. Yeah.
Hi.
And his name's Mark Sherman.
Yeah, that's me.
Mark Sherman.
So. Tim looks so tired, you guys.
Yeah. Hi, Mark. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Hello again.
You've been here many times.
I have.
And your name is Mark Sherman. So.
Super pro.
What was seriously happening is I was sitting here going, Mike Sherman, and knowing that was wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And my brain was just like, I don't.
You can tell it's a skeptics podcast because we're all about the facts here.
Yeah, yeah. And his name is Mark Sherman.
His name is Mark Sherman.
Fact.
He's been on before a lot.
All right. And speaking of been here before, we're not going to talk about what we've talked about before. We're going to talk about Jessica Jones. We did not talk about Jessica Jones season 1.
Two.
We did.
We did not do a podcast about Jessica Jones. I never watched season 1.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. You never watched season 1?
I watched the first two episodes, but here's the thing, mind control storylines, I don't fucking like them at all.
Really? Oh, so then you definitely don't like Jessica Jones.
Yeah, that's a bad season.
As soon as I was like, "Oh, that's what kind of storyline this is." I was like, out. Not because it was bad, but because I just
don't want to ruin, you know. David Tennant.
So obviously, like, by now, I feel like there's no moratorium on spoilers.
Oh, yeah. I know everything about season
But we're going to talk about season 2 as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
we're going to talk season 2
spoiler,
pretty much.
Spoiler warning.
Yeah. This way we can just talk about all of it. I don't have to remember which came first.
you don't have to remember.
Thanks.
You don't have to remember.
Generally in order, chronologically.
Just the facts, thanks.
You don't have to remember what we talked about when we talked about season 1 because we never did.
Exactly.
Right.
So, but this is Jessica Jones season 2.
So, Tim, can I just say that if you don't like mind control storylines, it's a good thing that you only sort of watched this show and not read in the comic, because in the comic it's so much fucking worse.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Tremendously.
Like, as bad as it is in the show and how fucked up what he does during the show is, like, in the comic it's so much longer and so much worse.
Well, and it's not fucked up what he does to everybody. It's just like, you know, you see this guy walking in and just making anybody do whatever he wants.
Yeah, but he doesn't make Ant-Man eat himself with his own ants.
Yeah.
He has so in the comics, it's interesting, his power is in his voice. No, it's his pheromones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pheromone thing that he gives off.
Yep.
And in the show, it's his voice. It's like he has some kind of weird voice power.
Yeah, and I'm trying to...
Which I think was a cool distinction.
I'm trying to remember in the comics very specifically if he was... I think it was self-experimentation. Nick, you might remember this.
It was a purple gas.
Yeah, I think...
his skin's purple in the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just a clever name, Purple Man. He is violently violent.
I can't remember offhand, but I think it was an experiment gone wrong. He may have been a prisoner that was experimented on. Yeah, but I remember it's some kind of purple gas. Well,
an experiment gone wrong? Why, that's just like Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
Yes.
But he,
you know how else they're alike? Cold-blooded murder. We're the same, you and me, and Jessica.
I mean, when they said it was going to be David Tennant, my first thought was like, you know, this is so awesome, not only because I think it's a really good fit, he's going to do a great job, but also because I'm the exact type of asshole who takes a particular kind of glee of watching someone's favorite Doctor Who play like the most evil man that ever lived.
Yeah.
Like fictionally. Mm-hmm. So like just watching someone's hero get not just a little bit tainted. Like, I don't want to ruin things that are fun for people, but like also a little bit.
I mean,
so Jessica Jones, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I know. I just feel like we've been spending a lot of time talking about the Purple Man.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
The show is about her.
Yeah.
Well, but she doesn't exist without
specifically
the Purple Man,
the Purple Man is only in season two in commentary on what he did in season one.
Right.
And we're talking about season two.
He's also, I mean, he's there. Like, he's there in her mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a common thing from the comics. He's always with her.
Yeah, he's never quite gone, yeah.
Yeah, even when he's dead for a while and then not dead, he's still always kind of with her.
So I would say my favorite thing about season two specifically was, overall, I think it's one of the best seasons of Marvel. It's up there with first season of Daredevil, and in the sense of the pacing and the story, and it just kept moving along, and nothing. I never fell asleep, which is a really big deal. I usually fall asleep watching hour long dramas when things get too talky.
Did you two binge it or
pretty close? I think we watched all of it in 2.5 days. Oh, because it came out on a Thursday. We spent like Friday night, Saturday. Yeah.
I think it took us about 5 days.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you, Mark?
Yeah, I covered in about 3 or 4 days or so. I had a lot of downtime recently, so I just powered through as much of it as I possibly can.
I was watching about one a day. So
like Molly's saying, the pacing is probably one of the best. There's that joke that any Marvel Netflix show should be like 2 to 3 episodes shorter.
Yeah.
Like just for the overall plot, like they could cut 2 to 3 episodes. I didn't feel that way about this. I felt like every episode was good. Like there was no slump.
I think what to say they should be 2 to 3 episodes shorter is probably incorrect. They should be 2 to 3 episodes better.
And this
series did manage to pull that off better.
Mm-hmm. I really the only thing I got tired of was I got a little tired of Patsy's drug habit, like but that's just because watching addicts be addicts can be tiresome because they're addicts and they're gonna just keep doing the shit that gets them the addict stuff, so that was the only part that I got a little bored with.
You only just sit by and watch people self-destruct.
Yeah, not for that long. Yeah. Like, I understand the purpose of it, and everyone needs to hit rock bottom to learn. I get that, believe me. But, like, I think that after a while, it was like her rock bottom was just getting prolonged. She was getting dragged along the bottom for a good long time.
Yeah.
Well, and frankly, at the end of this, did she hit rock bottom? Doesn't really seem like she got punished in the end.
Oh, Trish?
Yeah.
Kind of... Yeah, it's that whole, you know, birth of a hero for the next time thing, like which is...
Or a villain.
Yeah, I mean, for real. Or like an anti-hero, like a real, like Frank Castle. He's not really a good guy.
Sure.
I mean, kinda, sorta.
He's not a bad guy, but...
But he murders a lot of people.
Yeah. What he does isn't good, but,
She doesn't want to be a hero... Because she wants to help people. She wants to be a hero because she wants to feel strong and she wants to feel powerful and she wants to, like, I don't know, she feels
which
helpless.
Which she now, Jessica or Trish?
Trish,
yeah.
Like, I don't feel like there's any altruism in her game or in her plan. Though, you know, clearly she's... wants to do good things. I don't think the primary benefit is other people.
She doesn't necessarily want to do good things for the right reasons.
There's a lot of like that whole like, oh, poor me, I'm the rich person who's literally had everything, but yet there's something that I cannot have and I must have that in order to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And my adopted or stepsister or whatever Jessica Jones is has that thing and hates it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody hates her for it, but still, that looks pretty cool to me.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, but it's not like, it doesn't come off like the Danny Rand entitledness, where that was just like, fuck this guy, he's intolerable. She was still like a good character.
Yeah, totally. And I think that I really enjoyed this show because it explored a lot of themes, mother-daughter relationships, sister-friend relationships, a lot of women to women, you know, and like how you navigate the way that it is to grow up strong or weak or however else, addicted, a show pony, you know. But then, you know, the also like Jerry's whole storyline
was
super great.
Yeah.
With like
Mom
with
so great.
her losing her wife and then finding out she's got ALS and going through this whole roller coaster of like when you achieve it all, and you get everything and you're alone, like, what does that matter?
And like, she fought for it all. Like, talks about that.
Yeah. And she wanted to be alone. And that's nothing. All she ever wanted was to be, you know, with her wife, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, that was really powerful stuff. And I felt like it was really cool to see all the women who directed episodes, all the women who wrote episodes, and then all of these female relationships and, you know, circumstances being played out.
And that is great. And let me this maybe may derail us for a moment, but if I can complain about one thing right now,
yeah.
And this actually is Jessica Jones and Black Panther and Wonder Woman. And it's not that I have a problem with these films being directed by people of color or women. It's that they're only directed by people of color or women when they're about people of color. Or women.
Sure, I get that.
It's oh, we're doing a show in which the protagonist is a woman, so let's give all these women writing jobs and directing jobs, but they're not giving them writing jobs and directing jobs when it's not about women, and I suppose that's a step in the right direction.
But it could also be the women not wanting to write male stories.
I don't think there are too many women in California, in Hollywood right now that would turn down a writing gig.
Yeah.
I think that when it comes, I think that maybe you're assuming that it goes the one way as opposed to the other, and that it's, we need to go find writers for these female driven stories as opposed to, we need to make a story, let's get women, and it turns into a more female driven story. The first season of Jessica Jones wasn't as driven by female storylines at all. Like, not the same with women relationships. I think it can be a little more chicken and egg than you're making it sound.
No.
You know, I was just, when you were talking about the relationships between women and the mother-daughter thing, that reminded me of after a few episodes, it was, you know, when it became clear that that was her mom, it was like, all right, this could get tired soon. Like, this could get, like, it's kind of going on for a bit. But
saving that until episode 7, I thought was a bit of a drag. Like, it was just getting to the point where it was becoming unfun.
And then it changed. Like, it didn't seem like it was too far off to me. It felt like it was all right. But the relationship, it was fun to have. Like, you can't just put Superman in a movie where he's just can use his powers against all his problems, because it gets boring. Like, with this, it was like Jessica Jones, they gave her an extreme emotional problem that she couldn't just punch her way out of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was drink her way out of.
Right. Like, none of her unhealthy behavior or violence or anger issues would let her get away with not having to deal with this problem that was, you know, incredibly personal and incredibly emotional for her. And, I thought that was a good fit. Like, they've designed a good problem for her that fit her strengths and her weaknesses and made a compelling story in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think compared to other Marvel series where, you know, the action, you're kind of waiting for an action set piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jessica Jones is a lot more about trying to avoid them. I mean, sure. in a lot of ways, Jessica is not particularly proud of the fact that she has powers. She doesn't seem really compelled to use them except at inopportune times, frequently beating the shit out of somebody who is in power.
Lashing out because she got too mad to control herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's these minor things, lifting a refrigerator in a hallway.
Yeah.
And I don't, I mean, I you know, some of the action sequences in, like, Daredevil, and not Iron Fist, but Daredevil, for instance, are and Punisher are really spectacular.
Yeah, Luke Cage, too. There are some crazy action Luke scenes Cage. In Luke Cage.
Yeah, there's not a single fight in a hallway in this entire series.
And I know, there's a hallway. I don't understand why they don't use it.
They use it for talking. It was so weird.
Jessica Jones's office is at the end of a hallway.
I saw a hammer just sitting there when he was working on that windowsill ledge the whole movie. The whole show, there was a hammer right there, and no one used it to put it in the face of a Yakuza guy.
Elevators, too.
Weird.
Like, without issue.
Oh, it's so strange.
They just use elevators to go, like, up and down floors in buildings.
Baffling.
I don't know. But I guess my point is that they take a different approach. It is about a character with powers, but her approach to her powers are different than the way these other characters approach their powers, which is what is nice about, I mean, Iron Fist is crappy, but at least they're looking at these characters through different lenses than, say, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is looking at powered characters or even characters that are superheroes because of not superhuman skill, but whatever Black Widow and Hawkeye are.
Human exceptionalism.
Enhanced like training methods created human exceptionalism.
You know, and if I had to weigh in on why I think that might be the case, particularly with this character, I'd say it's down to two things, especially with the second season. And the first one is that the character was created whole cloth by Brian Michael Bendis. Yep. He is, if you're not familiar, was one of the best writers working for Marvel and one of the people generally guiding them for most of the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. He just recently jumped shipped over to DC, and maybe he'll be able to do something to fix whatever shit they've got going on over there. But jury's still out on that one. In any case, his writing style is very personal, and it's very... It's bombastic, but quiet. And if you've ever read his work, you'll kind of know what I'm talking about. Like, he's very wordy. Everyone talks a lot, but it is very personal, is very down to earth. So when he created this person, he really created a series of neuroses and then added the powers that would least benefit that person with everything that they wanted to do. And that's very similar to how Marvel creates a lot of their characters, but it was distilled in a very specific way to write the story that he didn't think he'd get to, you know, do beyond that single arc, which basically rounded up where season one ended. And at that point, honestly, Jessica Jones, as far as the comics was concerned, was fixed for about 5 years. Yeah. Like, she had a healthy relationship, she moved on with her life, and she didn't start breaking again until a little bit more recently. And that's thing number one. Thing number two about this season that I think led to some of those situations is that it's completely off script. They weren't basing this off of any other material that's already been established. Yep. So it allowed them to write material for a character without having any weight of being, we should tell a story like this for her. In a lot of ways, there's just not a lot to work off. Alias wasn't a big series. It was 30 issues. The new series has been around for, what, a year and a half now? Something like that?
Maybe a year?
Yeah. Bendis's 18th and final issue is this month.
And in between that, there was the series Pulse, which ran for like six issues, maybe 12 at best.
She's
and then
one of the casts.
And then she joined one of the Avengers teams for a while. So they really just did what they wanted to with the character.
With Bendis's style, especially with like this or Daredevil or whatever, it's all dialogue and atmosphere, like maybe the story sometimes is I don't know. He can write a good twist and he can write a good story, but like I feel like Bendis's strengths are always in dialogue and atmosphere. And I feel like those are the two strongest things about Jessica Jones. And I feel like it's one of the reasons why this show is a success too, is because they have that color, they have that atmosphere, they have like the anger and interesting environments. Like they're doing a good job shooting in the city, which is where Jessica Jones always, like whenever you picture her, she's always in the city. And I feel like they capture that well in the show.
And not like in a clean part of the city. She's in like the real shit, you know.
And then she has this dialogue that is hurt or sarcastic or funny or negative or whatever, but like those are the things you need to do a successful Jessica Jones.
Yeah. Her armor story is more than just her strength. It's and her leather jacket, it's her barbs and her demeanor and her coldness to people, I think, is all a huge part of her defense.
Yeah.
Even though she can defend herself physically against anything.
Right.
Like she still puts up all these walls and she still puts up all these barriers to make people a little more afraid of her and keep them at arm's length. It's amazing.
Like how Purple Man is a good villain for her because her strength and her emotional walls are nothing to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This using her mom like this in the second season again, like,
yeah,
like, it's a good fit.
So, Tim,
yeah.
How I had feelings. I just wanted to. I didn't want to hijack your hosting, but like I had feelings about her burnt head not growing hair when the rest of her skin and face and body regenerated. Like, and I just real side note. Did anyone else have like? Was there anything that you thought was like super off about that weird shit? Yeah, like it just. Did she have a different face? They kept saying she looked different, right?
Yeah, it seemed like they were suggesting an awful lot that she no longer looked like Jessica's mother in any way, except for the sound of her voice.
So, like, the bones would be the same, roughly, but, like, the muscle underneath that makes the shape of your face would
be
different?
Sure, but, like...
It'll grow back?
Except for the back of her head, which could not be fixed, no matter what they tried.
Well, when they, like...
No secret genetic medication could do a
when
thing.
They stretched the skin out and against her face, they had to staple it somewhere.
Yeah, it was just such a weird fucking reason that she looked different a lot.
Yeah.
Like, that was such a weird, dumb reason to give
plot
her wigs.
Convenience.
Just say she couldn't grow hair. Make it all smooth and normal skin. And say she couldn't grow hair because of the experiments.
She has to be a monster in some way.
It was so fucking weird to be like, yeah, sorry.
I think she had to be a monster in some way.
Sure. Yeah, that's the thing, is she had to physically look broken.
Something distinct and villainous.
Well, yeah. But they did that and then they fixed her, and I think we're supposed to be appreciating that as like the mask that she now wears as a thin veneer over everything. So when they were showing those flashback scenes and she's scars from top of the head to tips of the toes, it seems just, I don't know why they couldn't just, you're right, they just should have filled it all in.
I feel
in.
Like,
yeah.
Well, to me, what happened, and this is my headcanon, I just created it. So,
oh, good.
They started the genetic testing at her toes.
Uh-huh.
And they got all the way to the top of her head, or to her head.
Back, yeah.
The back of her head, and that's when they ran out.
Oh, like when you see someone who did their hair themselves, and
yes.
Like there's a big patch in the back of their hair where they didn't get enough bleach.
It's the same,
they didn't know what they're
doing. Only it's with genetic testing.
Exactly. They just ran out of genetic goop to smear on her to get her better. That makes total sense, Tim.
Sure.
It does.
That's some DC sense right there.
DC logic.
Ha, ha, ha. Take that, billion-dollar company.
I really liked Malcolm this season, too.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they took him someplace interesting from the first season as kind of minor to second season. He was more, like, he had a whole character arc.
Mm-hmm.
He had growth and
well, and I like that usually there's, you know, like three main dudes and the chick that's around that's maybe dating one of them. And she's got some good character development, but her main thing is to be a part in the other, in the storylines of the dudes. But in this show, it was three women and the one dude and his part was to be the storyline for Jessica and Trish. Like,
sidekicks.
Yeah.
One person and love interest to the other. Like,
And then there was the other guy, the... whose name I can't remember. The
Chow?
Chang?
Oh, man.
Chang.
Yeah.
I thought it was Chang.
We're all going to hell for this.
Yeah, but the guy who...
No, but I really think it was Chang. I'm sorry.
I think it was too.
I'm not trying to be racist. No. I think that's his goddamn
all
name.
I can think is Josh Chan, and that's from that Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and that's like... Because it's not right. But I thought he had... I liked that he also had like a secondary role. And it like was like, you know, foil / competition. It was really cool.
I
guess not cool that the two minority characters had the secondary roles. Now that I'm pulling back and realizing it was three white women in the bus, but still a little progress, right?
It was white women and minority men. I mean, that's something.
Yeah,
it's something. If not everything, but it. Is a progress of a sort, shall we say. I think all of the characters have a nice development to them over the course of the series. None of them stay the same, which is, I think, nice. Was there any character that you really, I mean, we talked about a lot of them, but any character that was kind of your favorite?
I'm going to scroll through characters.
I actually... kind of really liked the Battlestar Galactica guys, with Callum Keith Rennie, the guy who played the evil scientist. I kind of loved his whole story arc. Like, honestly, like by the end of it, he wasn't a bad guy. He did things unethically, but he was just a hippie who was trying to help some people and got way in too deep and crossed some lines.
His name is Price Cheng.
C-H-E-N-G?
Yeah, that's why I was like, he's got like a rich white boy's name, Price. I couldn't remember that. But I did. That's why I thought Josh.
I thought that was... It was an interesting direction to take it because he wasn't much like the right way the show usually works, he's not like a mustache twirler. He's not there to just be purely evil, to be raged against the entire time. His motivations are kind of noble, but he got too attached. He got too into things. He wasn't doing things the right way, and that led him to some bad places with some bad people.
Yeah.
It was very different than how he is an existing comic character, not attached to Jessica Jones, really, but he is like a mustache-twirling
monster.
Evil scientist in the comics.
This
is way more interesting.
Yeah.
It's way more believable. He was an actual character.
I think the character I liked the most from season two that was new was the super, her boyfriend, dude that was like first all anti supers, the super who's anti supers, didn't realize that, and like all angry at her, but like he was angry in that way that you could tell he was just so mad at her vagina, like he was just so mad at her hot. Stupid, strong self being in trouble or hot trouble. It was really good. And I liked that her kid, even though at first we were joking, because at first he had one motivation, and that was, you did a good thing for my kid, therefore I will do whatever you ask of me.
Yeah.
Which was a little bit, like, he did it to, like, two people. It was like, listen, you saved my boy, and I can never thank you enough, so of course I'll commit crimes.
It happened with Jessica, and then it happened again.
I think
with
Jerry, right?
Or her mom or someone.
Someone
else saved his son, and all of a sudden he was like...
Oh, yeah, it was mom, and then papers for your mom.
Yeah. She saved my boy. She's good people. Like this.
Like, that's all it takes, and you got him for life.
Yeah.
And it was a really good excuse to finally shoehorn in all of David Mack's artwork into the show.
That was cool to see. That was super cool to see the watercolory kind of stuff in there.
Yeah. That was the artist bit was nice,
and they had a convenient person to make IDs at like five different plot points.
Yeah, they had a lot of ideas. I feel like they were like, well, if we're gonna have this forger, then we're gonna need a lot of forging.
We might as well use him. If we've got this skill at our fingertips, we might as well require that skill as often as possible.
Yeah, and he's not dead, so he can come back.
I love the. I think my favorite, like, new for season two character was the nurse.
Oh, the con hooker nurse.
Yeah, that was
Inez.
That was fucking brutal, like emotionally really rough.
Yeah,
like she's maybe like the most evil person in season two of Jessica Jones.
You like see Jerry open up to her, and you're just like, you like feel it, and it's like, oh my god, there's like a warm actual love here, and then ice cold.
And you realize that it's like when she went to go steal all her shit and she had all that jewelry and she was going through all the medications, she saw the ALS medication, and you're like, oh, she changed her mind.
She had a better idea.
She got a better idea. Exactly. Oh, that shit was so, in retrospect,
so
it was
up.
So brutal.
Yeah.
Like,
that brutal is a really good descriptor for this entire season. This was a cruel season of television.
It was like a raw nerve, man. Yeah. All of it. But then
it didn't treat anybody gently.
I don't judge anyone for not being able to watch Jessica Jones, because I've had a couple people say, oh, I tried watching it, but, you know, a few episodes in, like, my PTSD was just like, fuck no, and some other things, people being, like, genuinely getting triggered by, you know, the fucking rape and murder and torture and all kinds of abusive relationships, and it's like, no, I don't fault anyone for that. That's Jessica Jones is a hard go. Intentionally.
It should be, because
her life is shit, and, like, it needs to feel that way.
Yeah. I'm sorry not everyone could watch it, but this is the way it should be.
Yeah, totally.
You know,
it is executed properly.
Yeah, exactly. And well, and there's value to telling stories that maybe to a degree aren't for everybody, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I should hope so. If we stray from the concept of like not everything is for everybody, then like that is for me when I think culture is lost. Because like right now I understand like content warnings and offensive warnings and not wanting to have people speak somewhere because you're offended by their content. I get it. I do. You shouldn't have to be subjected to things like that. But to say that we just stop making media unless it's completely palatable to every single person, I just don't see how we could ever get there.
I think there are very few people that are making the argument that there shouldn't be things that are problematic. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's erasing.
They're out there is the thing.
They're the minority. They're not the people.
Just like the minority is of people that are like, you know, fuck you, I should be able to say whatever I want and anything without consequence.
The majority of people recognize that a content warning is simply saying, yo, you may or may not be comfortable with this, and I'm still going to say it.
A content warning means we get to have shit like Jessica Jones.
Yes, exactly.
That's right.
Responsibly.
Watch Jessica Jones responsibly. All right, it's time. It's time for five questions. Now, here's the thing. We've asked Mark our five questions.
We have.
And he's asked five questions.
He has.
And then we asked him,
each asked a question?
Yeah, I think that's
a weird five questions.
That's when we were recording up in the luxurious attic studios.
Oh. Yeah. No, I think I've never done anything other than here.
No, we were upstairs that one time.
Nope.
Yep.
He wasn't. Right. I don't know.
I wasn't.
Anyway. It doesn't matter. The point is, we're just going to read some answers from a Patreon supporter. I think we're still on Patreon supporters,
yes,
aren't we?
Yes, we are, with five answers from friend of the show, Matt Savickle.
Oh, hi, Matt.
All right.
He's a Doctor Who fan. You might remember him from the episode we did about Doctor
Who
like 5 years ago.
It's true.
So question number one is something. Just going to look right over here. What conspiracy theory do you find the most interesting or compelling?
I've always been intrigued by Atlantis and the idea of a lost underwater civilization. Probably because I watched a bunch of Aquaman on the Super Friends, Tiger Sharks, which was a Thundercats offshoot, and the movie Splash growing up.
Huh. Splash.
I love that fucking movie. Yeah.
Or as we know it now, The Shape of Water. So
I haven't seen that movie.
Yeah, you have.
Real good fish fucking.
Oh, well then, I like that movie.
Yeah. Number two, what is your perfect two-week vacation?
I very much took physics into account here. I would go to Epcot Center for a day, then launch from Cape Canaveral and set course for the moon. I'd want a fully automated ride so I can catch up on my backlog of movies, shows, books, and video games for the three-day trip out. I'd orbit the moon but not land and enjoy being alone on the far side of the moon for a few orbits. Then I'd head back to Earth, three more days, and save some time on air travel by splashing down in New Zealand.
Oh, nice.
The last 5 days of my trip would be spent exploring New Zealand and all the Xena and Lord of the Rings filming locations. And I'd gain an extra day on my way home on my flight back, so I'd stop in Kauai for a day for a layover.
That's
damn,
impressive.
Matt!
That is
very
serious
thorough.
Rules lawyering.
That's some Superman Max vacation skills. Got your hot and bothered spreadsheet face.
Yeah.
That is very exciting. All right, question number three.
Number three, what's a movie or book that changed your life and how or why?
Probably Bill Maher's Religious. It helped put me on a path to question the concept of faith generally and helped push the envelope when it came to my own comfort level around whether religious concepts can be questioned or even mocked. I don't agree with Maher on some topics. Tell me about it. But the movie itself helped open my mind. We had the same thing. And yes, I also don't agree with Maher on a bunch of topics.
Here's the thing. Must that always be said? If you're like, religious. I mean, it did the same thing for me in the sense that I was already an atheist, but I was like, oh, I need to actually admit this.
I think it's because there are just a handful of very outspoken atheists in the world, and it is a reflex of ours to say that we don't agree with them on all points, but we this and that. Like there's Christian people who might say like, well, I don't really agree with Billy Graham on some stuff, but I mean, his preaching about this was nice. You know, like, I think it's a similar thing.
It's that whole, your fave is problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, you know, we can like acknowledge the good and bad at the same time.
I don't, we sure can. Yeah. All right, question number four. What is the geekiest thing you've ever done or said?
I would say starting my own podcast.
Ooh.
Oh, plug alert. Here we go. It's called the All New Doctor Who Book Club, available on iTunes. And myself and a fellow Who fan from London read, recap, and review a different Doctor Who book every month. We took up the reins when the original book club podcast folded after 5 years. We've been going a year now, and it's a lot of fun. My runner-up would be my wedding reception. That was pretty geeky.
That was pretty geeky.
Yeah, it was. There was a photo booth with very geeky props. So we have a picture of ourselves.
Each
with
table had a full, like a pretty decent scale Enterprise.
They were all of his Star Trek ships.
Yeah, that were all like really high detail,
really nice models.
They were
pretty
great.
Sweet.
Question five. Hey Matt, what's your favorite hangover cure?
Simply this. Don't overdrink in the first place, and maybe try something less harmful and more fun than alcohol instead.
Oh, that's preachy as fuck.
Huh, I wonder.
Options. Matt's just saying it's good to have options.
I'm giving you shit, Matt, given that I'm the person on this podcast who doesn't drink. But,
yeah, what are you talking about over there with your preachiness?
I don't drink. It's fine.
Yeah,
and there are two of us in the room.
Yeah, two of us.
Two of us don't drink. We're so fucking boring. All right. We've been Geeks Without God. We've been talking Jessica Jones Season 2, a little bit of Season 1 with Mark Sherman. Thank you for being here, Mark.
Thank you.
If you have anything to say about Jessica Jones Season 1 or 2, feel free to mention in the comments or post on Facebook on our page or do whatever you want to do. Also, coming up in just a couple of weeks, Die Laughing, we are going to do a live podcast on Saturday the 7th. And
that was my live podcast noise.
That's a great noise. It's
going to
be,
I did it live.
It's going to be
on
an Ask Us Anything podcast, and it will be our 300th.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know that when we scheduled it.
Yeah, that was an accident.
It was totally not intentional, but now it's special, so you should come out and watch us do our 300th podcast live in front of you, asking us whatever question you want about geekiness or godlessness or comedy or honestly anything else.
Anything.
Literally, we will answer any question at all.
Oh, and that's terrifying.
And that could be a mess. We don't have any new Patreon supporters to mention this podcast, do we?
No,
we don't. But we've had a lot of great Patreon supporters. We're working on getting the next level of equipment. As you can hear, we already have a pretty nice level of equipment, but more.
Hey, Tim, I like the level of your equipment.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. This is not
your
a geeky
equipment
boner episode.
Is so level. Just straight on till morning.
That level's just lying there. Nobody's fighting in the hallway. All right. Thank you very much for listening. We'll catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Parallel.
Oh, fuck. Is it too late to mention that I really like the noir vibe of this show? Ah, shit.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. Moral authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
They showed her trying to fly as Jewel and mostly just landing on her face.
Yeah.
So she decided she'd walk after that.